Since January of this year, tens of thousands of Venezuelans have been taking to the streets every day. Most of them are young people in Caracas who are protesting the regime, fed up with the rising crime rates, inflation, and the chronic shortages of food and medicine. In the last two decades, an estimated 2 million Venezuelans left the country, driven by economic and political insecurity. Journalist Ruxandra Guidi was among these exiles. And now, after being in the U.S. for many years, she's looking toward her home country with all kinds of mixed feelings. Here's Ruxandra.
The reporter in me would like to be in Venezuela right now to witness the chaos firsthand, to try to explain it to the rest of the world. This would be difficult and painful. And some days, I watch the news riddled with guilt because I made it out. I have this memory from when I was 13. I sat in front of the TV eating dinner. My mom and I lived in a middle-class suburb of Caracas, and I commuted 2 hours each day to get to school downtown. But in this day, I stayed at home because there were protests and street blockades all over the capital, and schools were closed. Our TV set showed people looting supermarkets. One woman looked into the camera defiantly, like she felt no shame at taking what wasn't hers. She easily hauled off family-sized bags of sugar and rice. There wasn't a single police, National Guard, or any other officer in sight. The looting lasted a full day. And then the shooting started. Quiet at first, but then it quickly became deafening. The National Guard shot at people violating a night curfew. From inside their homes, people shot back. All of it was televised. The riots became known as El Caracazo. From the safety of our apartment in the city's outskirts, I watched horrified. This was not the Caracas I knew. In my Caracas, people went to school, to the office, and on weekends to the beach or the mall. And then we would return home to our daily routines. But as I watched TV that day, the Venezuela I'd known my whole life became a distant and violent stranger. The country on TV belonged to people who lived in the shanty towns that pepper the capital. Places where police wouldn't go. Places middle-class kids like me were warned about. It's been almost 30 years since El Caracazo. What I saw that day led me to become a journalist. The riots shattered my protective bubble as other people's struggles, my family's privilege, and the complicity of people in power collided in my imagination. El Caracazo exposed national race and class divisions in stark ways. It showed me that even a rich oil economy can leave a swath of its people hungry. It showed me that Venezuelans without money or pale skin did not really have the same rights under our constitution. That was 1989. A year later, my single mom and I left Venezuela. I was 14. We landed at Newark Airport scared about having to start a new life in the U.S., but 1 month gave way to a year, and before I knew it, my new life began to fit me. I made friends and I learned English. In college, I dove into writing, reporting, and traveling. In 2009, I went back as a journalist to cover a move to get rid of term limits. I stood in the middle of a crowd of thousands of people in downtown Caracas, waiting for President Hugo Chavez to arrive. He'd already been in power 10 years. People packed in tightly around me in every direction. About 3 hours passed. More people joined the crowds. And then I saw him, a stocky middle-aged man with a wide smile. He made his way through the throngs atop a pickup truck. Chavez waved his arms wildly, eliciting more adulation from the frenzied crowd. It's difficult to explain how the power of a cult of personality can wash over people and sweep them along. For a brief moment, I too felt carried away. This was not supposed to happen to me. a sensible journalist with a serious skepticism of populist movements. But as someone who'd grown up in a country governed by the rich, in a family that lived comfortably until an economic collapse meant we could barely make rent, I understood the cult of Chavez. He was not a typical elite white politician. He was a brown man from the working class, a revolutionary modeled after Che Guevara. When he was first elected, I welcomed him. Thanks to Chavez, Venezuela became synonymous with soup kitchens and government college scholarships. In the early 2000s, when he first took office, people felt like the country really belonged to them. They left their homes to vote and protest. But then Chavez took our constitution and made it his own, grabbing onto power and not letting go until his death in 2013. I haven't been back to Venezuela since that reporting trip 8 years ago, when I stood outside for hours waiting to see Chavez. Today, I'm watching another version of El Caracazo from afar. Scores of people marching, young people throwing Molotov cocktails at police, people hiding in their homes. I'm watching, more than 6,000 miles away, with a screen between us, and with my heart in my throat.
And a big thank you to Ruxandra Guidi for sharing her story with us.